We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, Her Hoop Stats fans. Welcome to another episode of Her Hoop Stats Unplugged. Happy March. It has been an exciting few days in women's college basketball. Of course, 5 of 6 major conference tournaments happening this weekend. Plenty of upsets across the ACC, Pac-12, Big Ten, and obviously the biggest one in the SEC with South Carolina falling to Kentucky. Kentucky going on a great run there to win the SEC tournament. So huge run for the Wildcats. I don't think too much to be worried about for the Gamecocks, though. They're going to keep that number one overall seed most likely. So time to right the ship before the NCAA tournament starts. And then the Big East tournament is also going on this weekend, which is where I have been all weekend. So for this week's episode, we're actually coming to you live from Mohegan Sun after the first two rounds of the Big East tournament, talking about quarterfinal and semifinal action, as well as what we're looking forward to and previewing the final between UConn and Nova. So without further ado, live from Mohegan Sun.
And I'm here today with Dana Mattia from our Hoop Stats team, and we are live from the Big East tournament. Just wrapped up the semifinals here, so we're at Mohegan Sun Arena. Big East finals coming up tomorrow. UConn versus Nova, so the 1 versus 2 seeds. Should be exciting. We're, of course, going to get to that game, but first going to start off with the action that we saw yesterday in the quarterfinals, semifinals today, and then, of course, we'll preview that big game coming up tomorrow. So yesterday, we started out the day, long day, 4 days of basketball. UConn in the opening round took down Georgetown pretty handedly. I think not too much to say about the game. I think basically what you expected from UConn coming into this tournament. But I think the big thing was Paige Beckers led the Huskies in scoring for the first time since her return. Played just about 20 minutes, so definitely the most minutes she's played as well. But it was 16 points, had a 4 assists and 5 rebounds as well. So just a really great game from Beckers, as we're seeing her still working her way back for the Huskies.
Yeah, it was over from the very beginning. I think it was 43-9.5. That's where I think I'm most impressed with UConn so far is their defense. They are shutting everybody down and doing it early.
Yeah, I think we've seen the Huskies kind of extend what they were doing at the end of the regular season when they got all these pieces back. I think yesterday was 4 straight games now that they had held their opponents to under 40. That streak broke today, but still just really locking it down on the defensive end, and that's setting the tone on offense for them as well. Just been really impressive kind of on both ends of the floor to start this off. And then in the second game, we are not going to be talking about defense at all, because we've got quite the offensive matchup in game 2 of the quarterfinals. DePaul versus Marquette. I think when you say DePaul, no surprise at all that we're talking about an offensive game, but it was really Marquette's offense that was the story there. I think if we told you that DePaul scored 85 points, you'd probably be like, DePaul won the ball game, but Marquette, 105 points, too shy of a Big East tournament record, 65.7% from the floor, a new Big East tournament record, just a phenomenal offensive performance from Marquette.
Yes, and 49-17 on the rebounding battle. I mean, you joked during the game that you might get whiplash from how back and forth you're going, but it was so fast-paced, of course, with the ball, and nobody could stop Van Koonen and Carlin. I think they combined for 46 points. But I feel bad for DePaul because I think they would have made a better matchup for UConn today with the variance they have. But either way, Marquette played really well.
Yeah, really well. And also what Marquette did on the glass, I think, was really important. They did a fantastic job boxing out Miss Morrow, broke her 23-game double-double streak. Obviously, no shade to Morrow there. She's been fantastic all season. But, I mean, just Marquette's game plan in there. They had multiple players in the paint on every single possession, making sure she couldn't get up, come up with those loose balls. So a really solid game plan for them to kind of come away with that win on the glass as well. That was a big part of that win.
Yeah. And then our next game was St. John's versus Villanova. I felt like this started out close and we thought it was going to be a good game, but Villanova really handled them easily. Brianna Hartley set a career high in rebounds with 17. She was also the second player in Villanova history to have a 15-15-5 game, 17 points, or 16 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists. Her and Maddie are really peaking at the right time.
Yeah, I think when we get to today's games, they were fantastic today as well. I thought in the first half, it was the matchup between Maddie Segrist and then Leilani Correa for St. John's, two of the best players in the conference, was a lot of fun to watch. But then going into the second half, Villanova was really just able to kind of pull away. The game was pretty much over at the end of the third quarter. They were really able to open up that gap, kind of like you'd expect them to do. That's the number two team in the conference, but I think we've seen it kind of down the stretch again today that, you know, Segrist is just great at making those big plays like you would expect a conference player of the year to do, and like you would expect one of the best players in the country to do.
Then unfortunately, because it was a 9:30 p.m. game, we were expecting another blowout, of course, with Creighton and Seton Hall, and that's not what we got. In fact, we got one of the best games, probably the best game of the Big East tournament so far, with Seton Hall pulling out the one-point win over Creighton. It literally came down to the wire, but it was really back and forth. There were 12 lead changes throughout the game. Lauren Park Lane was just pure magic at orchestrating the offense, finding whatever she wanted, getting through the paint, and then finally kicking it to Mabry, who had a game winner from the short corner with 2.1 seconds to go. I was amazed because, I mean, I knew Seton Hall had been playing well. I think they've won 11 of the last 13 games, but their defense was so fantastic, shutting down Ronsick. I think she was held under her average. She had 0 points in the first 12 minutes of the game. So hats off to Seton Hall. I don't think there's any team that battled as hard as they did in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been impressed with Lauren Park Lane at her size. What she's able to do in the lane has just always been so impressive. Unfortunately, I missed that game last night. I'm really regretting that choice a little bit, but we did get to see them in action again today in the second semifinal. And it was a battle as well. I think, you know, probably the second best game of the tournament so far was that second game today. But before we jump over to that, our opening semifinal was UConn versus Marquette, and I feel like the story was just like UConn's defense again. Marquette scored 105 points yesterday. They had, I think it was 8 points at the end of the first quarter, maybe it was six. It was not a lot of points at the end of the first quarter, and I think we just saw again what the Huskies can do in terms of locking a team down on the defensive end. And then I think the other trend we're seeing kind of for UConn right now is Kristen Williams came out hot, really hot in the first quarter against Marquette. She had, it was like, basically felt like four straight baskets in the lane, 8 points really quickly at the beginning. She did something similar against Georgetown on Saturday. So just kind of really setting the tone from that first quarter. It feels like UConn's coming out with that mentality right away. And just in these first two games, have really been able to kind of almost decide the game in the first quarter. Not that these two can't fight back, but they're blowing it wide open in the first 10 minutes.
Something that Coach mentioned, Coach Oriana mentioned, was like the depth they have now. I mean, their leading scorer on Saturday was Paige, and then today it was Avina Westbrook with 16, and then Dorka chipped in 13. I mean, this team gets points from all over the place, and I feel like there's not really a weakness that you can expose so far.
Yeah, I think the other thing that Gina Oriema put in today was, like, Izzy Fudd was 1 for 9 from the floor today. Mm-hmm. Obviously, how often is that going to happen? Probably not that often, but they don't, like, a month ago, if Izzy Fudd was 1 for 9 from the floor and Paige had 12 pitches were playing, but if she was playing at 2 points, this team might have been losing games. Now they've got so much depth that they know where their scoring is coming from. And then just the way they're, like, defensively able to come out as well, there's a lot of depth, so that allows them to kind of be more aggressive, I think, on the defensive end, because you've got players that can come off the bench, you have subs, so players can get rest. I mean, it's like, it feels like it's almost unfair at this point, because Paige Beckers is still coming off the bench for UConn. So you basically have a game today where UConn goes up by 10 points early on in the first, and then they basically, like, hockey sub, like, 4 players in, and you get your reigning national player that you're coming in off the bench. There's no break. There's no break in the slot.
It's scary.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been talking about it probably for, like, the last couple weeks now, as, like, Paige has been working her way back, but this is just definitely a team that's peaking at the right time. I think you can see that they're playing their best basketball this season very clearly.
Yep. So getting to our last semifinal game, we mentioned it before, Villanova beating Seton Hall. I felt like the game was closer than it probably should have been. Villanova took a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. Just dominant performances from Maddie Segrist and Brianna Hartley. But Seton Hall fought back, got it to within 4 from a 10-0 run. And then I think it ended at a 9-point edge. But I was not too impressed by the way Villanova handled the pressure today, and kind of makes me a little worried for tomorrow.
Yeah, Villanova, I think, turned over 5-6 times in the final quarter there, so we really kind of collapsed a little bit under Seton Hall's defensive pressure. They really turned it up. We were able, like you said, to kind of get it down to that 4-point margin. It came down to, though, that Villanova made the big plays, and specifically Maddie Segrist made those big plays. She came out, she hit a couple shots in the fourth. She had a really big assist towards the end of the game to get out, take it out for a 3 that pretty much sealed the game. So I think, I mean, like you expect, right? We said one of the best players in the country, you expect her to come out and make those kind of plays. But when we get to March, I think that's what it comes down to, is who comes out and makes the big plays. And she certainly did that today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the game tomorrow. I mean, do feel bad. I mean, you mentioned Lauren Park Lane earlier, but she had 22 points today. It was, you know, again, just fantastic to watch. And their coach, Tony Bazzella, had a lot to say about just the Big East in general. And I mean, we've observed the talent on this court firsthand. But he had a lot of comments about the disrespect the league is getting.
Yeah, and I think that's something we've really heard, I mean, probably more adamantly from Bazzella after the game today, but just in general from
Coach Bruno.
Yeah, from Marquette, from really all the coaches here this week. And I think it's something worth noting is that, you know, we look at, like, you look at the projection for the tournament right now, I think UConn has, or the Big East has UConn and Creighton in, and then Villanova and DePaul sitting kind of on that bubble, and the ESPN has them the last 4 out. And just the fact that this league should not be a 2-8 league, and I think that that's been a sentiment that's been echoed all the way through. I think Villanova is the most interesting case to me, because I think you look at a team there, I think they have 7 losses, but 4 of those came without, 3 or 4 of them came without Maddie Segrist. So I, like, how do you, it's the same thing as when you look at all these other teams that have these big injuries to major players, and Maddie Segrist is one of the best players in the country. So those, that has to be adjusted for. And then how many teams in the country have a better win than Villanova with a win over UConn? That is a huge win. They've won, I think, something like 11 of their last 13. They've been on a strong run to finish the season as well. And after in the Big East final, I mean, I don't know, regardless of what the outcome is tomorrow, how you, that's not a team that should be in the tournament. I think they're very clearly a top 68 team in the country. But I think it's just something we see. I mean, I think we talk about mid-majors in general too. Like, maybe not the level of respect that they get in tournament. It is really like the, you know, the 8th best team in the Pac-12, really better team, the 2nd, 3rd. Best team in the Big East, or a lot of other major conferences, in my opinion, probably not.
No.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, we still have, of course, to see what who's going to be in and out and what's to come. And obviously, Villanova does have a chance to just answer that question for themselves tomorrow.
And crazier things have happened. Yes. I mean, Kentucky today over South Carolina.
Yeah.
So getting to that game, I mean, I feel like just, you know, for you, Megan, like, what does Villanova have to do to pull out a win?
Yeah, I mean, I think Denise Dillon hit on that. They have to hit shots, right? Like, that's going to be a big thing. You have to go out and execute on offense, which is obviously way easier said than done. We've talked about how good UConn has been defensively. I mean, if UConn comes out and holds them to 40, 50 points, I don't know how they're going to win the game. So that's a big thing. I think you have to come out and execute. You have a player like Maddie Seacrest, though, which I think is a really big advantage in that, right? I don't think UConn has had to play a player like Maddie Seacrest in this tournament yet. Like I said, I've said like six times now, but one of the best players in the country, just a player that really can go get her own looks, can do a lot of things on the floor, but you're going to be relying on her to execute. And then obviously UConn also knows that Villanova's going to go through her a lot, so you're going to have other players step up and make big plays as well. I think that's going to be really important. The other thing, this is a Villanova team that takes care of the ball well. If they continue to do that tomorrow, that will help them a lot. I think, like we said, they didn't do that so well in the fourth quarter today. Hopefully they can clean that up going into tomorrow if they're going to compete with UConn. If you let UConn start running in transition, that's a very quick way for the game to get out of hand way too fast.
Yeah, I feel like I'm very excited for the matchup. I mean, it's weird that we haven't even mentioned her yet, but how dominant she's been, but Aaliyah Edwards and Brianna Hartley. Aaliyah, I feel like her and Brianna have so many similarities in the fact that they are everywhere. They're ball hawks. It is going to be just awesome seeing them both go for every single ball tomorrow, every single rebound. So it's the teams are similar in certain ways, but yeah, I think you hit it. You got to hit shots to beat this team. And I guess over the last, you know, 5-6 games, no one's really been able to do that with UConn.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other thing I'm really looking forward to is we've talked a lot, well, maybe not. I've talked a lot about Kristen Williams and her defense in what it's been in the last few games, regular season and also the postseason last year. I thought she should have been leading the player at the tournament for the Big East last season. She just played such great defense going down into the postseason. We've seen that in these games, but there hasn't necessarily been that like prolific score on Marquette or on Georgetown that, you know, she's had to really lock down and guard. Obviously you have that with Maddie Seacrest going into this final, so how can she defend Seacrest? Does she lock in? I think I want to say she held Seacrest to 3 points in the matchup last year. Obviously Seacrest is a better player than she was last year, but Williams I think is also a better player, so I think that matchup on the defensive end is going to be a lot of fun to monitor.
Yeah, I mean, and you have the Big East defensive player of the year on your team as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, the more you talk it out, it is a scary matchup for Villanova. And it, I mean, like the rest of these games, it could get out of hand quickly. So you're really going to have to rely on that shot making and on handling the ball, because UConn's going to switch all five positions. And they've proven that they feel confident guarding 1-5 with any player they have.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've seen that a lot. I mean, they've just been so strong defensively, and it really doesn't skip a beat when they step in either. There's a lot of weapons on both ends of the floor right now. I think talking about like NCAA tournament too, it does have, I think, some implications for UConn, how they, not just that they're going to, if they win this game tomorrow, but how they win it. I think that's going to be an important thing to keep an eye on too. I think UConn is a team that to me is just like the hardest team to try to figure out what the committee is going to do with, because it's just such an unprecedented situation. There's nothing you can really point to and be like, okay, what do you do with a team that was missing their National Player of the Year candidate for most of the season and also had X, Y, and Z other injuries? So especially with them not having like a power conference type postseason in this conference tournament to really be like, okay, yes, we beat, you know, these three ranked teams. So how they win is going to be important. If UConn comes out and plays like they have in these first two games and comes away with a big win, I think that's going to go a long way for them in seeding. I think with everything else that's happened this week, they're on the 2 line at this point, but where they fall, do they get to go to Bridgeport? Coming out and winning by 20 points tomorrow goes a long way in that conversation.
Absolutely. I want to pick Villanova for the sake of rooting on an underdog, but you said earlier, this team is peaking at the right time and they're healthy. So I fully expect UConn to come out and be just as dominant as they have been.
Yeah, that's going to be my pick as well. I think add to the fact that they've already lost to Villanova this year, I think we've seen this team, UConn team, when they're coming off a loss, or, well, they haven't, I don't think they've played anyone that they've lost to already, but the way they come off a loss, they come out angry. I kind of expect that mentality to come into the game tomorrow, which if Nova can't kind of avoid that first half or first quarter onslaught that we've seen in these first two games, it's going to be, I think, really hard to come back from that.
Not to mention, I mean, I mentioned it to Megan during the game, but I mean, for UConn, these are basically home games. It is so loud in here and it is packed. It is a Monday night, but fully expect the Husky fans to be super loud.
Yeah, the crowd here, especially today, was amazing, I think, from a UConn perspective, at least, just in terms of a pretty full arena, very loud. And the first half of that game was deafening in here. They were up by 10 within like a couple minutes, and it was still deafening all the way to halftime. So I expect something similar tomorrow. So that's definitely going to make it harder for Villanova as well. They did beat UConn at home though earlier. That was a home game.
True.
I think the crowd here is a bit different than that game's crowd was. But yeah, so I think that's something to keep an eye on as well. It is technically a neutral site, but very much a home game for UConn tomorrow. So yeah. I mean, I think we both are picking UConn, right? Also, picks, but
for sure.
I've got a question for you. Who is your like tournament MVP so far?
Ooh, I mean, like if I think of it in terms of UConn, it's hard for me because I feel like Aaliyah Edwards doesn't get the credit she deserves and like the impact she has on the game. And granted, they've only played two games, so it's a really small sample size. So I think from their perspective, I'd have to wait and see. And if, you know, Villanova pulls it out, it's easy. You know, Maddie or maybe Brianna if she has like a, you know, another crazy double-double. But I think in order to win, you need probably close to 30 points from Maddie.
Yeah, I think that's going to be crucial as well. I think it's similar. I think Maddie Seagrass, I think to me, has been the player that's played the best all tournament so far. So like, but going into tomorrow, I mean, that's a very different ballgame, so we'll see if that continues. I mean, I expect her to come out and get her still, but she's been fantastic. So I think so far she's been the MVP. Not saying that UConn's players haven't played well. There's just been, like we said, no one's played more than, I think, 28 minutes in any of these games for UConn. They're using their depth all the way through. So I think, you know, they're sharing the wealth in terms of who's been done, and that's making Seagrass stand out more. I think that could be another thing that kind of comes into this game tomorrow, especially as we get into the second half, though. UConn has been playing a 9-player rotation through both these games. They also, I think they played 11 in the first game against Georgetown. No player has played 30 minutes in any of these games. Villanova, on the other hand, players got a little bit of rest yesterday, but today, Maddie Seagrass played 39 minutes, Brianna Hurley played 38 minutes, so a lot more minutes on those legs when you're talking about three games in 3 days. The rest that UConn has had is going to work in their favor.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we did see Paige come out and play, you know, really well in that first game, but I feel like nowhere near her ceiling, obviously. I feel like a championship game, I'm expecting something big out of her.
Yeah, I think she had a quiet night tonight, or not night, it's this day. Quiet day today. Wasn't necessarily her best performance. I think nothing to be concerned about if you're a UConn fan coming off of the game that she had on Saturday. But I agree. I think, you know, Paige Beckers is the type of player that, you know, steps up on the stage is the biggest. So I wouldn't be surprised to see something big from her tomorrow. All right. Well, that's it. From the Lincoln Sun. You can follow along with us though for the final on Twitter and Instagram tomorrow.
Well, that's all for today's episode. Thanks again for listening. As always, make sure you rate, like, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to us. Also, be sure to check out the stats site at herhoopstats.com. All the stats you need for NCAA basketball, super helpful as you are going to make your bracket in just a little over or actually under a week. So definitely go check that out. Also be sure to be subscribed to our Substack newsletter for all of our best content in your inbox daily through March. And make sure to follow us on social media to keep up with us throughout the rest of the conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament. And then going into the WNBA season as well. We're at Her Hoop Stats on all platforms. Thanks again for listening.